Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of our podcast. And today we have a truly inspiring conversation lined up for you with a guest who embodies passion, commitment, and an unwavering dedication to making a difference in the lives of young people across the globe. We're thrilled to introduce you to somebody who goes by the nickname Charismatic Chris, which you'll hear about during our conversation today. Chris is a beacon of hope and empowerment for countless young individuals in Nigeria and beyond. And in this episode, Chris opens up about his personal journey. He shares his heartfelt insights on the challenges faced by the youth today, including the battle against drugs, cybercrime, poverty, and highlights the critical work being done to provide them with the essential tools, support, and opportunities they need to overcome these obstacles and thrive. As we delve deeper into the conversation, Chris also gives us a sneak peek into the upcoming National Youth Summit on Drug and Substance Abuse Prevention scheduled for November 28th and 29th, a pivotal event that stands as a beacon of hope and a platform for change, learning, and collaboration in the fight against drug and substance abuse. This episode is not just a conversation. It's a call to action for each one of us to step up, to engage our youth and support them, to help them overcome obstacles and thrive. So without further ado, let's dive into this enlightening conversation and let the journey of inspiration and impact unfold. The Vision. A world where all people live free of the burden of drug abuse. This is the Drug-Free America Foundation's Pathway to Prevention podcast, where we are committed to developing strategies that prevent drug use and promote sustained recovery. Thank you for not only tuning in, but your continued support and efforts to help make this world a better place. We hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, welcome back, podcast listeners. Today, I'm bringing you a marvelous individual who is doing some excellent work with African youths. I've got with me today Ambassador Chris Ibe, the Executive Director of the African Youth Initiative on Crime Prevention. And we're going to dive in and have a wonderful conversation today. So we're glad you're listening. So without further ado, Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Dave. I'm so delighted and happy to be here. Thank you very much.
The honor is all mine. And before we really get into the African Youth Initiative on Crime Prevention, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and, well, where in this world you are located?
Thank you very much. Like you introduced, my name is Ambassador Chris Ibe, founder, executive director, African Youth Initiative on Crime Prevention. I'm in Nigeria and I'm based in Lagos.
All right. So you're the executive director of the African Youth Initiative on Crime Prevention. Can you tell me what inspired you to focus specifically on crime prevention among African youths?
Thank you very much. The genesis of my activity can be traced down to my days in the University of Lagos. I was privileged to nominated by the university to attend a program, a leadership program organized by Leap Africa, who is a leading NGO spearheading leadership activities in Africa. So they had a partnership with the University of Lagos. And as at that time, I was a class governor, a class rep in my undergraduates at a diploma level. So when I moved to my degree, the university nominated me based on my activities in this school, the university. because at the time I was elected as chairman of Students Forum Faculty of Education. I was also a member of the Students Forum that had the constitution, that wrote the constitution of the university, student constitution of student union in the university. So after the program, the training, it was a 1 year, very intensive 1 year training. After the training, as a condition for graduation and for passing, we were asked to come up with initiatives that will solve societal challenges, that will bring solutions to societal challenges. So during that time, my university had so many issues relating to campus cultism. Students were being killed, were being bullied, so many issues within the university community. So I had to choose to sensitize the university community on the need, the role of youth, the role of students in bringing peace, in bringing safer university community. So that was how I first initiated the first student leadership and crime prevention summit, which attracted so many leaders, so many security formations in Nigeria. And the university was so happy about it. They were so happy. Upon my graduation, the university requested that I should replicate the program to sensitize the youth about their role in the fight against campus cultism and other related crime. So I saw that it was well accepted during that time. So when I passed out, I had some mentors, especially my senior brother and my course advisor. They actually told me that the part I have told is something that the society really needs, and I should go further to consolidate my activities. You know, so that was how I ventured. I now ventured into the NGO world fully, got the organization registered, and today here we are. I think that is the genesis of my activities, you know, and it has really kind of impacted regarding the level of poverty down here. That is poverty-induced crime, you know, drug and substance abuse. So the society here is really accepting it because young people are really the victims. So that is what I can tell you, how I started African Youth Initiative.
That is a marvelous story, that while you're in university, that leadership program, which sounds so intense and filled with knowledge and wisdom, and then to have the mentors, your senior brother and cousin to guide you and help you on this path. And I'm wondering if you might elaborate a little bit more on the mission and the vision of the African Youth Initiative.
The mission of African Youth Initiative on Crime Prevention is to fight crime through youth development. You know, because we discovered that a well-informed youth hardly gets into crime. And poverty has also induced criminality. You know, so these are some of the things we have really looked into, decided to go into it by way of developing our youths, getting them meaningfully engaged, you know, which to a large extent takes them out of their criminal activities. And so that is actually the mission. You know, we fight crime through youth development. Because when these young people are not developed, when they are not empowered, there is high tendency that they go into criminal activities to kind of meet up with their societal challenges, even their personal needs. And so when they develop, they have one or two skills, they become resilient, you know, to criminal activities. They wouldn't want to go into that. So this is actually the vision that we have. So our vision is to have 20,000 young Africans by 2030. You know, 20,000 young Africans by 2030 who are championing this, who have been empowered to champion crime prevention through youth development. You know, the challenge is there's a whole lot of things going on in Africa. The leadership challenge we have as a continent, we've been challenged and limited by this. So it has become the survival of the fittest. There is no design, no particular design development format for young people. So it leaves young people to fight for themselves. And that, to a large extent, makes them desperate, you know. So from desperation, you see them going into drugs, you see them going into irregular migration, you see them going into so many things, you know, radicalization, violent extremism, ethno-religious intolerance. So even terrorism, you know, cybercrime is the order of the day here. So our mission and vision tends to redirect young people by way of structuring activities that will empower them, you know, that will give them the skills to be resilient when issues of crime came calling. So these are some of the things we tend to achieve through our programs.
I can't wait to learn more about that engagement and empowerment and resilience. Excellent, excellent. And when it comes to crime prevention and drug abuse, what are some of the unique challenges your youth are facing?
Yeah, the unique challenge we face here is poverty. It's really poverty. You see young people growing up, going to university, coming out from university without any job. They don't have skills. And the government, to a large extent, are not committal in youth development. So you see them getting frustrated. See them getting frustrated. And by that alone, like I said earlier, they are forced to fight for themselves. It becomes a jungle thing. It becomes survival of the fittest. So they are not being fully engaged. Their skills, potentials are not developed to the extent that they can sustain themselves. They can fend for themselves. So with all this, and you see them going into all sorts of survival of the fittest activities. You see them crossing Sahara Desert with their legs. You see them crossing the Mediterranean Sea just to find a greener pasture. So with our activities here, we kind of develop and empower them and stabilize them to see beyond that immediate desperation. You know, so when our youth are actually empowered here, developed and empowered here, there will be no need for desperation which leads into all manner of criminal activity. So that is the greatest challenge here, poverty, you know, and to a large extent, leadership too. I will always point that when there is no adequate leadership, there is no adequate mentorship, young people like erosion, they will find they will find a way for themselves. Remember, they have energy. Remember, they have passion. Remember, they want to explore. So if you don't get a program that will channel their energies, definitely something else will get their energies. And that is where you see all manner of criminal activities occupying them. Some of them, they take solace in drug and substance abuse. Some of them go as far as peddling, trafficking drug, trafficking drugs and ending up in jails or being hanged or languish in jails across the world. So it's a very big issue for us here.
I like how you articulated that around energy, and they're gonna put their energy into something. And yeah, and you mentioned, you know, engaging the youth. What about engaging community members and other organizations around, you know, partnerships? You know, how do you collaborate with other organizations and schools to create that broad, big impact?
Yes. The most of our success stories are anchored on our partnership ability, you know, because we cannot work in isolation. Like my university, the University of Lagos, has always been the backbone for most of the things we are doing, because we always partner with them. They provide us with facilities, also with human resource by way of some lecturers coming to speak to these young people, coming to empower them by way of teaching some skills. So that has always been. For community, we are community dwellers. We are based in the community. So you cannot fight crime outside the community, because crime is committed in the community. So we engage community. They are all eyes on what we are doing. Some issues might arise, and you see community members calling on us, especially you have drug and substance abuse issues, young people suffering in addiction. You see they are calling us, please, can you do something about this? We also have community sensitization programs. We have schools sensitization programs. Our SMART program, SMART clubs in secondary schools, and our healthy thinking clubs in secondary schools, which actually take drug abuse prevention education to secondary schools, highlighting the repercussions and the consequences involved in abuse, in getting involved in drug and substance abuse, especially for young people. So these are some of the ways we have addressed or tapped into stakeholders within our community. Because without them, definitely there is nothing. We can't achieve much, especially the law enforcement agencies. We normally have dialogues. We have what we call the drug and substance abuse prevention dialogue. We have the police youth dialogue. We also have the crime prevention dialogue. These dialogues help to bring young people, bring youth, and the law enforcement agencies together for them to exchange ideas. Young people tell them what they are experiencing. Then they also tell them what they don't want. You know, said, look, if you do this, the law will catch up with you and you go down for it. Remember that if you are against the law, you have some few dates in your life. You have a date with the arrest. You have a date with the court. You also have a date with the jail. Possibly, if you are not too lucky, you also have a date in the cemetery. A date in the cemetery, because definitely you might die as a result of your activity, and that will take you down 6 feet to the cemetery. So these are some of the things our stakeholders, especially the crime prevention dialogues, we have to explain to young people. So whoever that is going into any activity is should be aware, you know, should have full knowledge of what he's going to, the repercussions and the consequences of what he's about to do. And after such dialogues, you see some of these young people changing 360 degrees, not wanting to get into anything that would jeopardize their future, knowing fully that not only them that will feel the negative impact, they also have families and friends that will not want to feel such negative impact because it's highly traumatized. It could live with them for years, even till their lifetime. So we work across board. We use the churches. We use the faith-based institutions politically too, because we have also seen that politicians are not fair to young people. They also use drugs to induce them for them to become their political thugs. So during election too, we go out there to tell them, say, hey, please, you must discern. You must discern to take the electoral decisions because they are all your future. So we bring everybody on board, across board, to make sure that our programs impact maximally to young people.
I like it. And you already kind of started to highlight some, but I'm wondering if you might share one or two success stories or examples of positive outcomes from your efforts.
Yes, we've had a whole lot of success stories. As I speak to you today, since we started officially in 2011, the initiative started in 2008, but we got licensed, registered with the Corporate Affairs Commission in Nigeria to run an NGO. So we have sustained this project. Now you can see that from 2011, now we are having like 12 years going. And from 2008, when the initiative came on board, you know, we've sustained it like for 14, 15 years now. We have reached out to over 18,000 young people in Nigeria and Africa because our program, we also host our program in Kenya. So we have crime prevention, drug and substance abuse ambassadors that we have trained. They are championing this cause in their local community. Some of them have actually grown so big that we are even trying to catch up with them because of the passion, the energy, the drive, And as I speak to you, most of the government institutions, they have come to reckon with our activities. You know, they have given us accreditation across board. And because of our activities as well, the United Nations, ECOSOC, have also accredited our organization. So we are now organization on ECOSOC status, showing our commitment to it. You know, we have had a partnership with the U.S. Embassy, we had partnership with INL in the U.S. You know, we have worked with UNODC, United Nations Office on Drug and Crime. You know, so most of the law enforcement agencies in Nigeria, we have worked with. You know, and it's highly encouraging and motivating. I must tell you. So we've had a whole lot of successes to have sustained this project, this initiative for over a decade is something that really needs to be appreciated. And as I speak to you as well, we considered sports as soft power for crime prevention. You know, our football academy is running for 2 years now. You know, producing young people, engaging young people. We have 156 members, girls and boys, in that football academy, you know, that we use sports to fight crime, develop professionals, develop new generation African leaders, and crime prevention ambassadors. So making young people to believe in a project that you are carrying on, and you see them staying in that project for over 2 years, going to 5 years, is something that really needs to be appreciated within the community. Parents now see us as rapid response. They see us as hope. Within the school system, the school administration, they see us as hope when it comes to drug and substance abuse among young people. So our intervention has always been welcome. They call us at wheels, you know, that we are having this issue. Please, can you come and talk to the student? So when you see young people, institutions buying into programs like this, it shows that it's highly impactful. And I tell you, parents call back, community leaders call back, you know, maybe after 2-3 years, and you see them calling to tell us, you did this, you did this, you did this, and we have experienced tremendous change. Thank you very much. That only is a motivation. You know, and we are having international organizations, you know, coming to partner with us, supporting us. You know, we have ambassadors, global ambassadors for our football academy, and you see them supporting us, campaigning so that these young people will be meaningfully engaged. Because if you don't engage them, that is where the prevention starts. Lack of engagement is the core of the proliferation of criminal activities. If you don't engage young people effectively, that is where it starts. So stakeholders did not believe in what we are doing, and they are reaching out to us for solutions. You know, we've had the National Youth Summit on Crime Prevention for the 12th times. We are having it the 13th times this year. We're having the National Youth Summit on Drug and Substance Abuse Prevention. We've had it 8 times. For this year, we are having it the ninth edition, you know, in collaboration with so many organizations, the World Federation Against Crime, the Drug Free American Foundation. We are having, so for you to see this noble organization, highly credible organizations, identifying with us, it shows that we are really making impact in our local community. So the impact we've made are all obvious and numerous.
I was trying to take notes on all of those key elements that show the effectiveness, the impact from the 18,000 youth that you've reached to the 150 boys and girls in the football academy, and yes, the global partnerships that you have fostered. How does that make you feel as the executive director looking back on that list?
Yes, highly motivated, inspired to do more. Really inspired to do more, because it's just an initiative of a humble beginning. That today, it has taken me all over the world. It's taken me from the U.S., from U.S. to Japan, to virtually all the continents of the world, you know, but Australia. You know, it's something that just started like that. As out of my activities, I was nominated for the International Visitors Leadership Program of the U.S. State Department. So I'm an alumnus of the IVLP program, the exchange, international exchange of the U.S. government. So I've had calls to be sponsored by organizations like WFAD, you know, to attend international forums. You know, so many organizations, the Genesis Process in the U.S. You know, so these things are kind of, oh my God. Somebody that is coming from nowhere is making this impact. You know, a young person is making this impact. You know, each time young people, you walk in the streets of Lagos, you walk in the streets of Abuja, you walk in the streets of Nairobi, and you see young people identify you as Ambassador Chris or Ayikri or Charismatic Chris. You know, you get humbled. So I'm really very, very thankful to God for what He's done in my life, for using me as a tool, you know, in impacting young people and making sure that young people find their purpose of creation, their purpose of existence, you know, restoring their humanity is something that I can't just explain it. You know, I was in Kenya in 2019. Then we have the Global School Intervention Project on Drug and Substance Abuse with Healthy Thinking International of Sweden. You see, going to the slums of Urubocho, going to the slums of Kibera, going to the slums of Karubangi, Ruruta. You come to Nigeria, you go to Ajegunle, you have these kids, underserved kids, you know, giving them hope because they are hopeless. Most of them are hopeless. So when you find yourself as a solution to their challenges, you can only be humbled. You can only be humbled. You go to the streets and see them playing football. At the end of the day, they sleep under the bridge. And you bring them on board, say, please come, let's connect this. And you see some of them who has ventured into irregular migrations, who have suffered so much, and you see them say, come, let's have, if you develop these skills, possibly clubs international clubs can see you worthy, you know, of playing in so many international clubs. So these are some of the things we have. And when you see young people who have also developed their skills and now running organizations on their own, each time they come on the platform, they talk about Ambassador Prissy, they talk about African Youth Initiative of Crime Prevention for giving them opportunity to discover themselves. That only is a huge motivation and inspiration, I must tell you. So it's something I so much admire, and I am so thankful to God for the gift of this initiative, you know, to impact in your immediate community. That is just how I feel. I feel elated, you know, see myself in the global community, making impact, of not being interacting with the big and mighty, you know, even considering where I'm coming from, that African child who just went to get acquire university degree, from university degree, you're reaching out to the entire global community, you know, Africa as your epicenter is something that I will forever be grateful to God and my mentors, my senior brother, Dr. Emmanuel, my course advisor, Professor, so this guy is they've done something so unimaginable in my life. And each time I also organize program and bring them on board as facilitators or resource persons, speakers. You know, they always say, "This is my son. This is my academic son. This is my mentee." You know, so those things are really very, very pushy, you know, for you to do more. And do more. Though there are a whole lot of challenges as well, but you cannot afford to relax. You can't afford to go back, because if you go back, you create a bigger problem. Because those who are hoping on you will be entirely hopeless.
I am sitting here smiling in awe and feeling your energy. And your fire and your passion come through my speakers. I can just feel it. And I know, and I hope that our listeners feel just as inspired and motivated as well from you, Charismatic Chris. I caught that nickname and that made me smile as well.
It's called a tribal names, you know, young people as icebreaker. Mm-hmm. This time you want to, you know, we have a culture of respect this, respect that, which to a large extent kind of creates a whole lot of barriers during training. So if we are having training, we call you by your archetypal name, like you are like your thief. You can say you are diligent. You can say diligent thief.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that. Uh-huh. So you can say diligent thief. So we call you by that name. With that name, there will be no barrier in communication. There will be no wall created in communication. So during my days in the University of Lagos, when we had this Leap Africa training, that was my archetypal name, charismatic. I also use curious Chris, because I just want to know. I just want to do this. It's either charismatic Chris or curious Chris. So this archetypal name is really known within my training or activity ecosystem.
You've got me thinking. Yes, that makes perfect sense to me. And I'm curious, what other advice might you have for our listeners who want to take action and make a positive difference in their community?
Nelson Mandela said, human and community development does not require crowd, but just community. You know? So it's a huge challenge for you to stay back. You have a capacity. There is a particular skill, capability that you can use to change, to make an impact, even one. You know, and you sit down and you're looking at it. It's crazy. It's crazy as a Nigerian, when you go, you travel across the world and you get to international airports, you get to the port of entry, and you are treated as if maybe you are a criminal, all because of some negligible percentage of young people who have chosen to peddle drugs, you know, thereby condemning, putting the entire population into danger. You know, what is also really disheartening when you get the news that young people from Africa, from Nigeria, have been arrested as a result of drug trafficking. They have been executed either in Singapore, in Indonesia, in China, and different places. It's disheartening when you see young people who cannot access opportunities in the internet because they are Nigerians as a result of cyber criminality, cyber crime. You know? So all these things are really, they are things I cannot imagine. You see brilliant, able young people languishing in rehabilitation centers, abandoning their palatial mansions, you know, abandoning their loving, caring families, and you see them languishing in rehabilitation centers as a result of mental health issues, drug and substance abuse. It's disheartening. Anytime I read the news that a Nigerian has been executed as a result of drug, you know, in either Saudi Arabia, either in Singapore, or Indonesia, or Thailand, I wept, I cried, I just thought to myself, maybe nobody reached that young person. Nobody spoke to that young person. I wish I had opportunity of meeting that person. And that is why we are not relenting. That is why we are pushing as many, we are reaching out as many as we could to talk to them, telling them the repercussion. You know, these peddlers, these barons, they will tell you everything. They will tell you that, look, when you reach to Indonesia, you become a millionaire in dollars. But they don't tell you what is involved. They don't tell you the repercussion. They don't tell you the after effect. You know, you do a scam, you do a cyber crime, you get the millions and shut down other opportunities. There are scholarships young people can get on the internet. But because of the criminality of some few, you cannot access such websites. So it's really crazy. So that is what I'm trying to say, that if you are privileged and God, you know, has ordained you, has given you some level of capabilities, use it for humanity. Use it for humanity. Use it for your community. Each time you touch one life, you further make your community safe. Each time you prevent young person from going into drugs and substance abuse, you can sleep with your two eyes closed because your community will be safer. You know, you even make the works of law enforcement agencies, you know, you lessen the burden on them because they are overwhelmed in most cases. You know, so these are some of the advices, you know. But we want to do more. We want to do more, but the challenges are obvious. Lack of funding, lack of support, lack of this for you to sustain an academy of 156 young people, girls and boys underserved. You need to teach them, you need to buy them jersey, they cannot afford jersey. They cannot afford football boots. That is the level the poverty has struck. They can't afford this, and that is why we are calling on individuals, well-meaning individuals, people with conscience that still have their humanity impact, to intervene, support this mission, because there is no color in crime. There is no location in crime. Any crime planned in Africa can be executed in Asia or can be executed in America. That is organized crime. So if you stop crime here in Nigeria, it's possibly you are also stopping crime in Jamaica, you're stopping it in Japan, you're doing the same in America. You know, so this is some of the reasons why we are so committed, you know, but to achieve this, to sustain this, we really need support. We really need these young people. They cannot play football on bare body. They cannot play football naked. You know, these young people, after training them, they need empowerment. They need empowerment. They need to be empowered so that they will be stable. They will not relapse back to their old activities, because the street has a way of giving them false hope. If community, if leaders, mentors fail to give them hope, they go back to the streets, where those fake hopes are given to them, which will end up either in early grave or permanent body harm, disability. So these are some of the things that we are talking about. You know, and you know, we are hosting by November 28th and 29th, we are hosting the National Youth Summit, the 9th National Youth Summit on Drug and Substance Abuse Prevention. You know, and we have also gotten the commitment from the Drug Free American Foundation. The president is speaking, and has really given us support to that effect.
I wanted to ask you about the National Youth Summit, and you said this November 28th and 29th. And could you tell me a little bit more about the summit?
Thank you very much. According to ECOWAS, it's regarded as the largest gathering of young people in ECOWAS, in sub-Saharan region, to talk about drug and substance abuse prevention. It's an annual event of our organization. We bring young people, we bring young leaders across Nigeria and from part of Africa to come and talk about drug and substance abuse related issues, how it affects us, and what we can also do, you know, to either mitigate or prevent, because we champion prevention. We champion prevention in Nigeria. So we bring these young people annually to talk about it. They appraise, kind of calibrate their experiences, you know. Then they come up with solution on what to do. And that is where drug and substance abuse prevention ambassadors are trained. We bring experts across the world to come and talk to them, especially the consequences and repercussions and the way out of it, you know. So this year we are partnering with World Federation Against Drug, WFAD. They are based in Gothenburg, Sweden, which our organization is an affiliate. So this is what we do. Because the issue of drug in Nigeria and sub-Saharan Africa is on the increase. It's on the increase. The last national drug use survey states that 14% of the total population of Nigeria, especially young people, use drugs. They do drugs. And we don't have facilities. The facility to accommodate them, we don't have. And there is no recovery, there is no kind of recovery approach. It's not fighting. And this time around, we are talking about a team for this year is building support system, a preventive approach to drug and substance abuse recovery among youth. You know, because if you get if you become a victim, young people, they call it wacko. If you go wacko as a result of drug and substance abuse, you are abandoned. You are abandoned, technically abandoned in Nigeria, because your family will be isolated. There will be that stigma. There will be stigma, huge. And that person or that young person, that victim, might not have opportunity to bounce back, might not have opportunity to restore his sanity, his mental health. So that is why we are talking about building support system this time around, you know, to see how we can salvage this situation. So we have done it for 8 years, and this is the 9th year. You know, we are expecting experts in youth and drug abuse prevention, you know, to come and talk to these young people. You know, so that is all about, and it's a gathering of 400 to 500 young people. You can imagine such gathering. You know, it's like a carnival. It's like where young people come and get the best information about drugs and substance abuse, the consequences, repercussions, and the way out. You know, Africa is like a dumping ground. Everywhere, you saw the issue of marijuana legalization is taking so much prominence now in Africa. There are people I consider inhuman who are promoting this, talking about the benefits. But we are peculiar. This is a country, this is a continent of young people, a continent that lacks capacity to engage her young people. You are making available drugs. You are legalizing drugs, whereas you don't have those facilities that we engage them meaningfully. You know, unemployment rate here is very, very high. You cannot create factories. You cannot create employment. What you want to do is to legalize marijuana, legalize other substances. You know, so this is sheer wickedness. And we are standing against it. We are preaching against it. We are talking against it. You know, we want our leaders to have some sense of humanity, to look at this, engage, get the factories working, and let young people get there and start working, you know, to support themselves. You have not created jobs. You have not created the factories. You want to legalize the marijuana. So what happens? What happens? And the type of marijuana we have here is crazy. So these are some of the things this summit stands to champion. And it's obvious. The publicity is everywhere. They know that African Youth Initiative on Crime Prevention is that voice in the wilderness that is shouting, please, let our young people be protected. Let our young people be engaged. Well, let our young people be meaningfully employed. Don't make marijuana available for them. So that is what the National Youth Summit on Drug and Substance Abuse Prevention is all about. And it's something, an event that we are passionate about. Because if you have opportunity to come to Nigeria, yes, you will cry for your money. You will cry for young people of this age. I'm being honest to you. So we cannot close, we cannot just sleep and close our eyes. We have more victims. So that young people live by the streets as a result of mental health issues from addiction and drug and substance abuse. That is why we have sustained this program, this extent. And we are calling on well-meaning individuals across the world because this is a global fight. It is a war. It's a global fight that if you don't fight, it will come to your doorstep. And nobody is immune because the mighty in the society, their children are locked up in their rooms because of stigma. Some of them even die. We serve the underserved. They don't have funds to take them to rehabilitation centers. So the first thing is to prevent it. Don't let it happen. Because if it happens, die. Nobody will take them.
Yes. And how can our listeners stay up to date or see photos or get involved with the summit?
Yeah, we have our Facebook, social media handles, you know, that we are making plans to also streamline, you know, but it's all over the social media. It's all over, even in our website, you know. We also have it there, the news there. So if you just go on www.ayikrip.org.ng, you have it. You go on Ayikrip Youths, you have it. On my personal handle, Christy Pechini, you have it. So it's even some of our partners too. You know, we are open for participation. We are open for participation. If you want to participate, get us contacted. Maybe, I don't know how to put it, but our emails are available. Our phone contacts are available. Phone numbers are available to always reach us. You know, as international community, you can take an adventurous decision to visit Nigeria for the first time, and also have first-hand experience of what we are talking about, you know. So you come and play with us. We have wonderful boys who can. We have the Victor Osimhen. We have the Messi's. We have the Ronaldo's in our football academy. What we are just looking for is opportunity for these young people to start their careers, because we are limited by this. We are limited by this, and that is why we are calling on well-meaning individuals, organizations to support us. Because these young people, when they stay too much on this, it might be another problem, because they need to move on. You know, our academy, we played in the Lagos League last year, and we came third on the Lagos League. Lagos Football League, Lagos Division Football League, is something that is really amazing. Under 2 years, and you see these boys displaying skills, you know, that can stand in, within the football ecosystem. They can prove themselves anywhere, but we don't have opportunities. We want football clubs. We want individuals to support us. We don't. There are so many things we don't have. We even want to enter into partnership because this is charity. We want to enter into partnership. If you support us to get these boys move, whatever that comes in, we can take decision on it. You know. So, but for now, we are hoping. We are really hoping. We have a partner that is supporting us, someone that supports the Next Leaders Initiative for Sustainability in Japan. Yes, it's just them. But we need support. We need support. We need maximum support so that these boys will not go back to the street. Because when they get back to the street, we don't know who might be the victim because they need to go. They need to do something. We want them to do the right thing, not the wrong thing. That's why we are engaging.
Yes, to engage and keep them engaged so they feel empowered. Yes. Well, before we wrap up our conversation today, I wanted to just open it up and ask, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about the African Youth Initiative on Crime Prevention, your work, or even in drug prevention, just in general? What else would you like our listeners to know?
Well, what especially is we are open for partnership. We are open for partnership. We want to work with everybody. We want to share experiences. We want to work with you anywhere you are, in America, in Australia, in California, anywhere, in Maryland, in New York. We want to work with you. We are open for partnership. If you need a reliable organization to work with, yes. Another is, we need your support. We need your support. Because we need to sustain these projects, these issues. If we fail to sustain it, it will spell doom for these young people who are hoping on us. Because they will not be hope anywhere. They will not be hope. So we are also using the opportunity to invite you to Nigeria to be part of the summit in November. You're highly welcome. We also open the academy doors, the football academy doors, for you to come and play with our boys and girls. You see what is happening in Australia now. You see how the girls are now making the football community, the world, you know, restoring their confidence in football. They are doing exceptionally well. So when you come to our academy, you also see the girls. Maybe in the nearest future, those girls in the academy will be the ones playing in the World Cup. Or the boys in the academy will be the ones playing across the world. So you are welcome. Have opportunity now to come and play, kick football, and mentor our members, because we are not just playing football. We also teach them leadership skills, you know, that kind of form words of resilience against crime and substance abuse. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very, very much. And listeners, you heard Chris. Grab your football shoes, pack your suitcases, and book your tickets. I've got an open invitation to visit Nigeria and get involved with the marvelous, wonderful, and very important work going on with the African Youth Initiative on Crime Prevention. And curious, Chris, it has been a delight. I am so grateful that our paths have crossed and we got to have this wonderful conversation. And I look forward to many more conversations and collaborations with you, because prevention is better together. Thank you for chatting with us today.
Thank you very much, Dave. Thank you very much.
That concludes this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and share this episode with a friend before you leave. And we look forward to seeing you on social media, because prevention is better together. Together, we are stronger.